This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to another installment of the SA Radio Award-winning show you and I know as the COVID Report, the show where I provide you with comprehensive coverage of the coronavirus pandemic. I am your host, Ukamilihle Wakwapovana, here to give you the show that gives you all of the facts, all of the stats, all of the figures, and none of the misinformation as it pertains to all things COVID-19. On this edition of the show, it'll be an extension somewhat to the show we had this time last week, in the interest of keeping the conversation going with regards to the vaccination rollout. We will be hearing from the lovely people from Pfizer South Africa and to hear what they have to say about the recent trials that were conducted for children aged between the ages of 12 and 17 in order for them to be eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, earlier this month, a virtual briefing was held on COVID-19 and the vaccination rollout program, government efforts in the fight against COVID-19, as well as the status of the vaccination rollout from the Minister of Health, Joe Phaahla. The minister further stated that children from the ages of 12 to 17 may now get one dose of the Pfizer vaccines. And we have a little bit of audio for you from that briefing so we can hear for yourself what the Minister of Health had to say.
We believe that this will come handy as schools start their examinations, or some of them already advanced towards concluding their academic year and are starting to prepare for the next academic year of 2022. The Pfizer vaccine, which has been approved by SAHPRA for this age group, will be used for the purpose of this vaccination of the young people 12 to 17. The Vaccine Serial Advisory Committee advised that for now, we should only give one dose of Pfizer while assessing information.
Now, joining us on the show as a guest to help us further unpack this discussion, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome the medical director at Pfizer South Africa, Dr. Ba Ndungane Tlakula, joining us as a guest here on the COVID Report to further unpack all of the details surrounding children being eligible to receive one dose of the Pfizer vaccine at this stage of our continued fight against COVID-19. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the COVID Report.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much. It is an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Now, as we heard, Pfizer has started conducting vaccine trials on children aged between the ages of 12 and 17 in South Africa. Can you talk us through where things stand as far as those vaccine trials are concerned? And if not, can you also tell us more about the global trials data that has been collected from children of that same age group in other parts of the world?
Okay, thanks for the question. I'll just maybe start by giving an update on the COVID vaccines that we are currently having in South Africa. So we have the vaccine studies that are including the older age group, right? 18 upwards, and maternal studies as well for pregnant women. And we do not have any ongoing studies for the age group of 12 to 15 years in South Africa. However, we do have global trials that have been conducted and are still in conduction for these age groups of 12 to 15 years old, adolescents. And what is good to share with you today is that enrolled over 2,000 adolescents across the globe, 100% efficacy and robust antibody responses have been, you know, observed in this age group, which is really assuring because I think it's keeping with the adults. Vaccination studies where efficacy and safety was observed as well. Remember the 95% efficacy that was observed in the older age groups. And it's really continuing to show the similar trends even for the younger age groups. And that is 12 to 15 years of age.
Thank you very much for that. Now, could you also talk us through in the interest of further informing and further enlightening those who might not be aware of these particular nitty-gritty details as it pertains to what the Pfizer vaccine is composed of and what will essentially be entering the bodies of these young children aged between the ages of 12 and 17? What is the composition of the Pfizer vaccine? And in relation to myocarditis, which has been identified as one of the rare effects of the Pfizer vaccine on youngsters, If this has already been identified and documented as an issue, can you talk us through the decision to continue with trials for youngsters in the face of this issue being identified?
Okay. Myocarditis, I think as rightly you have alluded to, that it's one of the rare effects that has been observed in the younger age groups, right? And just maybe for the interest of the public, just to explain what myocarditis is, it's an inflammation of the heart muscle, right? And that inflammation of the heart muscle can be from various things, right? Including your viral infections causing this. So the myocarditis that has been observed within the younger age groups after receiving the vaccine, as I've said, that it's quite a rare occurrence that has been reported. And the good thing about that is that it's self-limiting in the individuals where it was observed. And it really didn't guarantee hospitalization for these cases, right? So yes, it would be observed for a few days and it would be self-limiting without the individuals even needing higher care or intervention at a hospital level. And I think just to drill again that it's one of the rare cases that has been observed. So coming to your point around the clinical trials, always a benefit-risk assessment is made. And in this case, even with the rare cases of myocarditis, the benefits outweigh the risk. So by you omitting the vaccine and having a fear that the myocarditis might develop. If you look at the COVID-related myocarditis, that is even on a worse case, if I can put it like that.
Are there any notable differences in the side effects of vaccination between the adults that have seemingly beat the children to the queue of being allowed to participate in trials for the vaccine and receiving the vaccines themselves? And furthermore, could you also unpack any potential side effects that children between these ages of 12 to 17 might experience after receiving their documented one dose of the Pfizer vaccine?
So the vaccine was well tolerated across all age groups, and the side effects generally were consistent amongst these age groups, right? So there is no, like, with children, we get worse of fever or we get worse of headache or we get worse of pain at the injection site type of thing. They were quite consistent, the side effects across all age groups. And I think what to allude to with the side effects is that the side effects are very minor, right? And they're also self-limiting. Okay, so they resolve within 7 days usually, and they don't require, you know, any further medication really or become worse. So within the 7 days, side effects, most of them are self-limiting. And like any other medication, remember, it's not only the vaccines that have side effects, but I think I'll drill again into the benefit risk profile of any medication that is really analyzed before being decided to be carried on to be given to the individuals. So at no point will the medication which is causing harm continue to be given to the public if the risk outweighs the benefits.
Thank you very much for that. Now, according to the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bola, he mentioned that we might need boosters every year to reduce the risks of getting COVID-19. Now, to my understanding, in a nutshell, he's saying that the COVID-19 will be treated the same way as the influenza virus. Does this mean that the ingredients of the vaccine will have to change to accommodate new variants of the COVID-19 virus that come our way?
The topic of the boosters, it's something that it's still being looked at. And I would like to share with the public that we're really following the WHO advice and recommendations. And we have recently seen last week the recommendation that they had, you know, provided for the countries for the booster dose to be given to the individuals with weaker immune systems or immunocompromised individuals, right? And we really wait and see on the evolution as things change, as data comes in, and just keep, you know, our ears and our minds open, right? And I think the primary thing for now, it's primary, you know, vaccination, so that the herd immunity of 67 to 70% is achieved. achieved by all countries that are affected by the COVID-19 virus.
Now, RNA viruses have the ability to change a person's DNA. The human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV, is an example of this. As it relates to the Pfizer vaccine, would you say that it has the ability to also do as the virus that I refer to, the HIV virus, since it also contains mRNA in its strand?
First and foremost, the statement it's factually incorrect, right? So there is no alteration of your genetic material or your DNA that is caused by messenger RNA vaccines. And maybe if I can just touch on the point how the messenger RNA vaccines platform work is that they deliver the message to your body cells that instructs the cells to generate the spike proteins. And the spike proteins on the surface of the virus initiate the infection in the human cells. And by instructing the cells to generate the spike proteins, it then generates the immune response, right? And that immune response neutralizes or inactivates the virus. So there is no way where, there is alteration or, interference with the genetic material or the nucleus of the cells by the messenger RNAs. And I think it's one of the myths or the misinformation really that, requires unpacking and making sure that the public understands how the messenger RNA, platforms or vaccines work.
I think that serves as a great segue to my next question, because there's been a lot of conjecture around the varying degrees of the severity of the side effects associated with the vaccines that are at our disposal for us to use to further protect ourselves from this virus. Have you encountered any severe instances of side effects that go above and beyond the threshold that you have identified that does not represent the vaccine as a threat to human life and doesn't also affect the 95% efficacy that has already been reported as far as how effective this vaccine is against COVID-19?
The side effect monitoring or adverse event monitoring remains one of the critical things that is being, monitored. And monitored across, right? So regulatory authorities in country and above country. And also, as we have the national rollout, also our National Department of Health have got a system where all the side effects are uploaded or reported to. And there's analysis, ongoing analysis of these side effects that are reported, right? So I think the side effect monitoring, it's very tight. And what I can commend is the ongoing updates that comes from SAHPRA, our regulatory authorities, on what has been reported, on what, has been coming through their portal so that the public, see that there's nothing hidden. So I think transparency has been one of the key things that has been maintained for the public and also with the media so that people can feel comfortable and trust and have trust in the different vaccines that are being rolled out.
All right. And to round out our discussion, I would like to get your insight on this matter. There's been a story circulating that Pfizer has started a new clinical trial which involves the use of a COVID-19 treatment pill. And if this trial is successful, Pfizer will file for an emergency approval between October and December of this year. Can you tell us a bit more about this pill and how different the pill will be from the vaccine, and whether or not anyone who maybe uses this pill should expect more side effects or expect a change in the ingredients? And if the trial is indeed successful, would people need prescriptions to access the COVID-19 treatment pill, or will it be an over-the-counter pill?
At this point in time, I cannot share much around the question that you've just asked around the pill that is under investigation. It's still in the first phases, right? And we know that there are different phases of clinical trials, and there is a time where we can be able to communicate to the public, around the design and the mode of action and how the pill will be taken. But at this point in time, unfortunately, I cannot share with you much.
We'll absolutely respect that, and we'll wait until such a time that you can further unpack that matter as it pertains to the COVID-19 treatment pill. We've just been joined by special guest Dr. Bandunga Nikakula, the medical director of Pfizer South Africa, joining us on the COVID report to tell us more about the vaccine trials that were conducted on children ages 12 to 17 and where things stand as far as how effective the vaccine is for children to use, being that they will be allowed to take one dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Doctor, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for the insight you've given us into this matter. And again, thank you so much for joining us on the COVID report.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or stream via www.vofm.co.za.